anything, stay motivated, stay inspired. I owe it to myself, stay down on it. And it ain't been hard throughout the journey. It's been a journey.
Hello, my niggas. Hello, man. Hello, my niggas. Please keep it mellow, my nigga. Stop sipping yellow, my nigga. You itching and twitching and glitching, my nigga. Listen, my nigga. Shh. Snakes in your circle and them bitches hissing, my nigga. My nigga don't listen. One thing I hate by my nigga, so I just pray by my nigga. Nigga is hard. Niggas then gave up on God. Maybe God gave up on us. Maybe she angry we worshiping all these false idols, so devils just praying on us. This for the junkie, the fiend, and the loser. Praying to God in the back of a cruiser. I pray that prison can cure your addiction and devil's affliction don't hurt you no more. Needing no reason, but I'll let you know. I was so young when I stood at that store that I did not know that the money you gave me was meant for your babies, and now they just cold. It was just been in my nigga. I am not vicious, my nigga. I had no vision, my nigga. I wanted Gucci and Fendi, my nigga. Gucci's and Vinci, my nigga. But none of them crackers ain't lovers, my nigga. All of them crackers that fuck us, my nigga. Mad cause they women in love with the guard. They fuck us and suck. Suckers and lovers, my nigga. Back to the trap, back to the dickens and bucks. Looking like I drive a truck. Fucking my bitch, shit. Better be rich. She buy a new bag of weed. God damn it, I don't understand it. But if she's an addict, this Gucci purse gon' get a geek. Thick with her ass. She is a bad as a bad. Pretty as Coretta Scott. All that I got. She got the face of a martyr. She got the heart of a solder. She from the gutter, my nigga. Wife and a mother, my nigga. Winnie Mandela, my nigga. Freeland Appel to my nigga Obama. Please free our mama, my nigga. Asada, my nigga. Please free Mazulu, my nigga. Heart of a Zulu, my nigga. Free Larry Hoover, my nigga. Free Jeff Fort, my nigga. Fuck all the courts, my nigga. Moving like Malcolm and Martin the King. Lift every voice, it's the soul that I sing. Born in the womb of a beautiful teen. I am a beautiful, wonderful thing. I am a king, my woman's a queen. Master of the heart, that we of the God. I study hard like John Henry Clark. Even in my days of whipping the heart, I tell the devil the black man is God. Keeping the prayer, just playing my part. Lean on my demon and post in the paw. Jewelry on gleaming like Rockin' Malaw. My Eric B is my nine in the car. You try to G me, get nine in your jaw. Bless all the fellas that handled the raw. Fuck all the tellers that ran to the law. Watch out for the hitters with sticks in the car. My name is Michael, under my law.
Won't you help us so hard?
You are now tuned in. Whoa.
You're now tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian, and we're broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh, Squamish Nations, People's Territory here on June 20th, National Indigenous Peoples Day. It's Pride Month. It's the day after Juneteenth. Listen, there's a lot. There's a lot going on today. You know what I mean? It's a lot going on today. And, it's an opportunity for us to learn and be a little empathetic. I'm going to say that from the beginning. Listen, if you never listened to the show before, you're in for a treat. Because what we do here on the show is sometimes we like to talk about what's going on here in BC, what's going on here in the Lower Mainland. But sometimes we like to touch on, what's going on here in Issa's life. What's going on here in the streets? What's going on here in the stratosphere? And I got the goods and I got the jokes. Listen, we try to make light of some funny situations. We also try to bring some seriousness to some serious situations and, try to make you think, as particularly as you head into this beautiful weekend. It's been a little cold this past couple of days. Like, I feel like every time I come on here, it's in between bragging and also then looking forward to some good shit, because I feel like, sometimes we get a weekend like we did yesterday, where it's a little chilly, it's a little cold outside. Had to close my patio door for the first time in a few weeks, and it didn't feel good. It didn't feel great. But thankfully, this weekend, we're going to get some nice highs of 25 on Friday, high of 22 on Saturday, 24 on Sunday. So, listen, you can get outside. You can enjoy your weekend. You can enjoy it kind of just exactly how you'd like it to be. But it is Tuesday, and we do know how the Vancouver weather gets. So don't look forward too much. It was really nice to have some rain the past 2 days, particularly as we know. Things have been burning. But I say that as I look in Vancouver, and I'm like, oh, it was really nice to get rain. Like, as if I know how the rain is going to carry from Vancouver all the way thousands and thousands of kilometers away to the fires. But hopefully, you know, when it's cold and rainy where I'm at, that means it's cold and rainy everywhere. Because if you've listened to the show before, what you know is that, like, I don't like people to have fun, you know? I root against fun. I mean, I root for fun, but I'm also rooting against fun at the same time. If you listen to the show quite often, you understand. I want you to have fun with the show. You know, with the show is, that's what it is. You know, it's us sitting on the couch relaxing. You know, maybe you got something rolled up, or maybe you're just rolling in your car down the street trying to, you know, think about the long day that you have, or maybe the long night that you're going to have as you head to work or bed or home, or, you know, needing a break from your roommate, whatever you need. You know, I got you here at CITR. Listen, we do this every week. The fund drive is in February, but you can give money to CITR all the time. Listen, this community station is run by the community, by community people like myself, you know, other hosts here who come and do shows, who volunteer here to give their time, you know, to the people who work here on low wages so that they can give their time and build a space for the community. As we see kind of throughout, well, one, this is the best radio station in Vancouver. It's the best radio station that you could get by turning your knobs, and for free information, and you can hear about shit that you probably should know about and make you sound a little bit more interesting. Like, listen, if you go and you're out right now, just imagine this. If you're listening to CITR, either you really like me or you're single, you know? And if you are listening to the radio, maybe you got a date this weekend and you're like, you know what? I need to sound a little bit interesting. You know, maybe you're going to a festival and you're going to be sitting around with people and you're like, you know what? I want to tell the best story that I can. Listen, you've come to the right place, because I'm not going to give you the whole story. I'm going to give you kind of the foundation. Then you can build it up yourself, you know? Make yourself sound a little informed, a little bit interesting. You can tell them what's going on in my life. I got a facial today from Formula Fig. And I've been scared to touch my face all day because I like the feeling of the moisturizing that I've had on it. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do tonight, but I'm going to figure it out. It feels good so far. Had a great day. Listen, I had a nice day today. Had a nice weekend. Had a nice long weekend. When we come back from our first, musical break, I'm going to talk a little bit about Juneteenth and how I spent my Juneteenth, because maybe you didn't know about Juneteenth and you need somebody to tell you, because my friend is black from New Jersey, asked his grandfather what Juneteenth meant to him, and he asked him, is that a Jewish holiday? And that is just how complicated these things sometimes can be. When we get back.
Se aprontou, né, bebê? Já sou meia-noite, eu tô na tua porta, então melhor me atender. Se maquiando, se arrumando, saio do banho e lerê. Me acelerei pra te ver. Começa a Deus a me envolver. Viver os pecados, prazer. O perfume tu tá usando. A roupa que você tá vestindo, pra eu imagina tirando. A gente ainda nem tá indo. Penso na gente voltando. Ou dependendo do caminho, estacionei dentro do banco. Você me pedindo e acatando, e tacando, e admirando a via.
detalhes, seus olhos, sua boca, suas curvas, sua louca. Hipnotizado, vontade de falar que amo, mas não vou entregar o jogo assim tão fácil.
Jamais.
Sempre quando a noite vem e você quiser alguém, é só me ligar, ok? Relaxa, tá tudo bem. Sei tu não é de ninguém, só quero curtir também. Sempre quando a noite vem e você quiser alguém, pode me ligar, ok? Relaxa, tá tudo bem. Sei tu não é de ninguém, só quero curtir também.
Por que que eu fui me amarrar? Mas tenho que manter me amarra. Mas é só você brotar e eu querer te agarrar. E querer que seja no quarto nossa festa e farra. Nem preciso de baile, nem noitada na sua ou na minha casa. Eu trouxe duas garrafas, criminoso e criminosa lado a lado. E se eles falam do nosso passado, nosso lance é bem maior. E faz todo caso ser abafado.
Faz você gemendo chamando meu vulgo. 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 Sempre quando a noite vem e você quiser alguém, é só me ligar, ok? Relaxa, tá tudo bem. Sei tu não é de ninguém, só quero curtir também. Sempre quando a noite vem e você quiser alguém, pode me ligar, ok? Relaxa, tá tudo bem. Sei tu não é de ninguém, só quero curtir também.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And so, like I said, we got a lot going on because it's Pride Month. It's Juneteenth yesterday and it's National Indigenous Peoples Day. And so, you know, I think it's important, particularly Juneteenth is one of those holidays that I never really thought would be a holiday. You know what I mean? Like, I still think, when I think about Juneteenth, right, I think about kind of how my mother is really my first historian, and not, you know, my mother and her friends and kind of the community that she kind of put me in as a kid. And so, you know, I grew up in this very Afrocentric community called Sankofa. And what that was it was, you know, I went to Sunday school as well, but I would say Sankofa was kind of like Sunday school too, where it was, you know, where they taught you history about, you know, Black people in America and the diaspora and what that looked like. And so what that looked like, not only, you know, intra-country, so not only in the United States, but also inter-country, you know, like the Caribbean and South America and West Africa, you know, Sub-Saharan Africa, and kind of the connections between all of the regions, and, you know, just kind of, you know, what does Pan-Africanism look like? And it's an experience that not everybody, you know, grows up with. And so, like I was saying the story before the break, my friend's grandfather, who is from New Jersey, was not familiar with Juneteenth, particularly as it related to kind of like this freedom for all Black Americans. So in 2020, when, you know, after like this racial reckoning, which is what I will forever call 2020 a year of racial reckoning, even though we didn't reckon shit. But it felt like, you know, this time where you could come together and talk about what you wanted, you know, be open, kind of this openness to talk about this. And we talked about this on the show a lot, it felt like a time where you could really move the needle through conversation and through engagement and listening. And what I feel like we've seen in the past 3 years is that that's not really what's happened. But out of that, you know, we got Juneteenth in 2021 as a federal holiday. And Juneteenth as a federal holiday is interesting because, like I said, it's not something that has been, you know, kind of widely celebrated. And it's there's reason for that because Juneteenth started was on June 19th in 1865, you know, as the Civil War was coming to an end. So if you don't know, it was in 1863 that Abraham Lincoln declared the slaves free and basically declared the slaves free to cripple the South's economic base and the South's labor force so that the South would then not have an economic base to fight from and also provide them with another problem, which is, you know, black people leaving en masse and, you know, and causing that's, you know, and for the people who own slaves, those were that was their capital. You know, it would be as if, you know, don't want to be crude, but it'd be as if like, you know, the, you know, tractors and livestock during that time just got up and like walked away. You know what I mean? Like that was, that's how the people felt. And so, you know, and so, but it wasn't until 2 years later in June 19th, 1865 that the Union generals made it to Galveston, Texas to announce the end of the Civil War. And with it, the end of slavery, because if you were a slave owner in Texas and your slaves had never heard of, it's not like Twitter existed, you know, your slaves had never heard of, you know, that they were free, they would just still be thinking that they were in bondage, you know. And so Juneteenth was came out of that day and really celebrated in Texas and some parts of Louisiana, Arkansas, some places in the South. Really, it was where Juneteenth really jumped off and also within Pan-African circles. So I felt like I had a nice foundation to my Juneteenth knowledge. Never thought it would become a national holiday because it's not something that means the same thing to all black people everywhere. And it's not something that it was celebrated in the same way to all black people everywhere. And so it is, was, you know, it's just kind of like, well, we, this is not what we asked for. We asked for some material shit and you give us holiday. Anyways, so they make Juneteenth a holiday. And what I always think is interesting is that like kind of like the majority of people who work jobs that get off of bank holidays are not black. So like I feel, I've always find that like, you know, what is the point of the holiday if it doesn't really benefit or give people the space or the freedom to take the day off? You know what I mean? For the people who it's supposed to be commemorating, you know, and kind of lifting up, and it doesn't even cause any reflection. Like I found that one of the things that kind of makes me go, you know, about it is that the calls for the Juneteenth, like as a holiday, are about this coming together and this unity, you know, when I really feel like we do have holidays that do that, you know, there's like July 4th and there are, there is, there. I mean, that's really the only holiday in America that's really about coming together. Maybe Martin Luther King Day, Junior Day. But, you know, we have holidays like Veterans Day, Memorial Day, where they are really, really founded in this, you know, this sadness and this emotionality around loss and thinking about sacrifice and thinking about what it takes or what it took to, you know, to live in the land that we live in, or, you know, and that's what the holidays mean, at least. And so the tone around them is really around this like idea of reverence and this idea of thinking and, you know, that, that kind of 9/11, never forget kind of the people who sacrificed. And so it's just always very interesting, you know, that like the celebratory nature of Juneteenth is because it's almost feels like it's like two different holidays, right? So it feels like, you know, while I understand the celebratoriness of the holiday, particularly for the black people who have this deep connection to it, you know what I mean, to the day, and, you know, particularly in the region of Texas, Arkansas, you know, they've been celebrating the holiday for a long time. But I feel like for the rest of the country, it should be, and particularly for, you know, the more dominant culture, should be a more reflective and, you know, commemorated day where the tone is really about kind of remembering what people were hiding from, you know, what people were hiding from, you know, from the enslaved, from the formerly enslaved, and what they were hiding from the people and kind of everything that has come since, it should be, I feel like should be about a reflection of never again, you know, but that's not what it is. It's about kind of please forget and forgive, you know, like that. And so I just think it's interesting. But anyways, I started my own Juneteenth tradition, which was, you know, normally we say happy Juneteenth and, you know, to the people of my family. And we talk, you know, it's something that we definitely talk about. It's not something that we have cookouts and stuff about that. But I decided to make some Juneteenth holidays myself, you know, just to try to bring back that feeling that I think, to bring a lot of that feeling that I think should be about. And so I encourage you, maybe you have 364 days to think about it, but, you know, if you were listening to this and you happen to get Juneteenth off, maybe, you know, just do some reflection about, you know, kind of what that day, why is that even necessary, and what does it mean? What does it mean since, and things like that. But now pride. So I think it's one of those things. So we talk about pride, and I think it's the same way. So, you know, whereas pride is this celebration for a community that has, you know, pride was started, you know, I mean, we talk about this all the time. Pride was started as a protest. This idea that pride has always been, you know, like this widely accepted party is kind of, you know, new and, you know, more contemporary. And so this idea that we all celebrate pride and celebrate the people, I think is a great thing. But there's also, you know, what we've seen in the past few months, which is in the past few months, I'd say past few years, which is this serious backlash and growth of hate towards, you know, lesbian, gay, transgender, bi, you know, two-spirit, all types of different people. And it's not just in the rhetoric, but it's in actual the violence. Like, we're not just seeing violent, physical violence. I think there's going to be a protest tomorrow down at 312 Main about protesting against some of the, some of the initiatives that people have been putting up and putting the fight that people have been putting up. And so this is not just physical violence, but we've seen in the United States, not so much in Canada yet, but I always feel like it's always coming, which is, you know, we've seen policy and enact policy after policy in many, many states, trying to really push this idea that, you know, transgender people are the problem. And that doesn't just mean that people aren't allowed to live their lives. It really puts people's lives in danger, because it's this rhetoric that when you look at how people talk and how they are capturing people's minds, it leads to those people then committing acts of violence. And I think that that's something that, you know, needs to be talked about, you know. And I feel like that can be changed within the tone of which of the ways that we talk about pride, the way that we talk about, you know, like I said, the way we talk about Juneteenth. But particularly with pride, you see that when companies, you know, can promote and win consumer, you know, win the consumer game by supporting these, they are totally okay with it. But once it turns and we see the violence start to ratchet up, and we see that the policy and the politicians start to ratchet up against, you know, because it's a war. Like, these people are not playing any games. Like, they're very serious about the type of policies that they want to enact and the ways that they want to restrict and cause people harm. We see the companies, you know, back away. We see Starbucks back away, seen Bud Light back away, seen, you know, so many different other organizations that pretend to stand. And it's really sad. One, it's sad because I feel like, not only I think feel is it cowardly and just kind of the wrong thing to do, I also think that they are not actually doing the math on how this actually impacts their business. You know, I talked about this last week. When I was with some of the people who I sail with, which was, we drink a lot of beer on the boat, and so we go to the liquor store and we buy beer by the flat. And Bud Light was about the same price as, like, kind of the other beers that we buy, Pilsner or you know, Pabst Blue Ribbon or whatever. And I said, you know, I really thought about it, you know, maybe I would have bought Bud Light if Bud Light, like, well, I see conservatives shooting up Bud Light, makes me want to buy Bud Light. But then Bud Light backs down on their claims, you know, on their support. And it makes me not want to buy Bud Light. Now, who's championing Bud Light? Nobody. You know, no, Bud Light has no champions. And so when your brand has no champions, you're going to lose. So, like, Starbucks, the same thing. It's like, you know, you want to capitulate and not put any pride stuff in Starbucks. And in, when you used to do it, when it was, when you were okay taking people's money, you know what I mean? Supporting the community, taking people's money. This is, and now you want to back out. It's like, you know, I'm not with that shit. I'm not with that wishy-washy support when you feel like it's comfortable. Because it's never going to be comfortable, because the way that it's set up is that these people are constantly pushing back. And by constantly pushing back, they're constantly pushing down. And so that's when I think about Juneteenth and kind of Pride and National Indigenous Peoples Day. It's like, yes, it's a day for the people who are impacted the most to really celebrate the histories and kind of how far that the people behind them have pushed. And it's also, I think, a day for the people who are not a part of that community, who this is for the people who want to feel, you know, who see themselves as, like, you know, I would say, quote unquote, allies, or see themselves as a part of, you know, it's a day for, to kind of reflect around, like, you know, one, am I doing everything that I can? Am I doing everything that I should be? What does should mean? And how can we continue to fight? Because the other people are continuing their fight. That's, like, the thing is, like, what I've learned is that these people are relentless, and you can never really, you can't really retreat. And that's what Juneteenth kind of means to me. When we get back, we're going to talk about a little bit about some funny stuff, because, listen, I thought Ocean Gate was just kind of like the name of a scandal, and I did not know it was the name of the submarine that is currently in the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. When we get back, I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know what, I got some jokes. I got some jokes.
Super. My prayer, mama proud of a little black boy. We headline a club on the sneakers and back doors. Walk through the kitchen, got plenty ink on our passports. And not to mention our queens ain't pushing no rap for us. What you think I rap for? I'm building my legacy. Text from my heroes, hey, let us see. Chase bread, my pockets got legacy. Foreign land with my brother, that's pedigree. Cause we
work hard, play hard. We work for the days off. Make time to take off. Circle right back for the payoff. Follow, work hard, play hard. We work. Now we paid up, make time to lay up. Ain't worried about what anybody says.
It's okay, it's okay. Let's go play.
It's okay,
it's okay.
Let's go play.
My bitch is just finished escrow.
Let's go.
Baby mama got a new job. The homie Dino moved his people out of Doo Wop. And me and Smokey been banging at your boombox. Stay close, take notes, we in the zone. Nigga, two words, hard work, what we been on. It ain't no denying this divine timing. Been applying pressure, now we buying diamonds.
Second home, Hawaiian Islands, ain't no Panama. We leave in December, go where sun is shining. Can't go through the motions. Feel like the guardians of the Pacific Ocean. I'm mixing potions, que son 700% con gas. Tequilas y mentiras, filas de gas. Mira, estamos en otra liga de paz. Estamos enfrente, empezamos detrás. Cause we
work hard, play hard.
We
work for the days off. Make time to take off. Circle right back for the payoff. Oh, work hard, play hard.
We
work. Now we paid up. Make time to lay up. Ain't worried about what anybody says.
It's okay,
it's okay.
Let's go play.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Let's go play. let's go play.
Listen. I heard a voice that told me get rid of your inhibitions. At least just momentarily, it's hard to do charity without letting go and your soul get to feeling fictitious. I need to cleanse my palate, break a rule and get balanced. Aches and pains until she get naked and woo me in palace. Do something new, open the curtains, the view from the terrace. Looking like magic, hope a spectator catch it and staring. Look in the eyes, nothing to hide, even embarrassed. No windows in the garden. And if you see that snake, you better not disregard it. You wearing so little clothing for it to be autumn. Lil' mama, bring me your summer. I kiss on your blossom. We be working hard.
Work hard, play hard. We work for the days off. Make time to take off. Circle right back for the payoff. Oh, work hard, play hard.
We work.
Now we paid up. Make time to lay up. Ain't worried about what anybody says.
It's okay.
It's okay. Let's go play.
It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Let's go play.
It's okay.
It's okay.
I heard them boys from Englewood.
What
up,
it's
sir?
Okay. It's okay.
Fast boy shit.
Let's go play.
Engels.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR. CITR.ca. Listen, if you'd like to call in, this 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Listen, I don't take requests, but if you do tell me something good, you can share it with the world. You know, listen, we like to share good shit with the world, but also, so if you have not, if you're not chronically online like myself, now maybe this story might have passed. You buy, or maybe you're going to hear about it tomorrow or maybe next week on Facebook. But Ocean Gate was a submarine. So crazy. Who the hell has ever thought about, taking a submarine tour, like a recreational submarine tour? So basically, Ocean Gate is a tour firm that basically costs $250,000 a trip, and you can go see, basically the Titanic shipwreck through a submarine. And so on Sunday, It had taken five people out to tour the submarine, and I mean to tour the Titanic, and basically they lost signal and haven't been found since. So in a submarine the size of a minivan, these rich people decided to go and tour. And so it's very interesting because there's, mind you, like, if the internet's a very funny place, right? It's because one thing you don't want to do on the internet is become the main character. Because, listen, if you've been the main character on the internet, there's people, listen, sorry, we're getting all off topic. But when I was growing up, my stepfather, he told me that there's four types of people. It's kind of long because he's a long-winded kind of dude, but it kind of makes sense. So just follow me. You know, there's people who like you for the right reasons. And there's people who like you for the wrong reasons. And there's people who don't like you for the wrong reasons. And then there's people who don't like you for the right reasons. And there's really people that you only have to worry about are people who don't like you for the right reasons, because it's something that you can look inside yourself and you can kind of reflect and think about why. And, you know, you can kind of move accordingly. Doesn't mean you have to kind of change how you're moving, but you can kind of think about that from their perspective. And, you don't want to be on the main character on the internet, because all four of those types of people are going to all those four types of people are going to show up. And it's really hard to discern those types of people on the internet because, especially as myself, knock on wood, never been the main character on Twitter or on the internet. But what happens is you see people who are putting themselves kind of like, it's like extreme empathy, right? They put themselves in the line and look at it from like, what if that was me? And I can very easily, like, this is a case study for like people on the internet being like, that would never fucking be me in my life. So since it will never be me, it's absurd. And I can talk about it because there is not, especially I felt like, you know, especially Black people are like, yo, I'm never going to be found in a recreational submarine. That's just not happening. You know, and I say it's not just Black people, it's pretty much all people, but on the internet. It's like, you know, it's not just happening. It's just not part of my culture to do something like that. And for me, it's really funny to see like the people coming to defend, talking about how people have too many jokes. And I personally don't think that there's enough jokes, because when tragedy happens, sometimes the only thing that you can do is laugh. You can only laugh at the absurdity, like, of what some of the things that are happening. Like, I don't think that there's anybody who actually wishes, who's like hoping for people to die. Like, that's not something that I feel that we do on this side. You know what I mean? Particularly, it's not something like, there's so much evidence that there's so much empathy and care for people. There's also so much empathy, also so many jokes, because it has to be jokes. Particularly around this one, like, there was a video where it shows the kind of the CEO talking about the submarine and going through the inside of the sub, pointing out that he bought some of the things from like RV World, and I got this from Home Depot. Even the controller that is used to navigate the submarine is not even like a real controller. It's a Logitech controller. Now, if you've ever played PlayStation 1, or PlayStation 2, PlayStation 3, Xbox, you've ever owned a game system, and you know that when they give you the Mad Catz control, you're going to lose. Like, you're like, if I go to my friend's house, like, this is a true story. Like, you go to your friend's house. My best friend, Yohansi, was here about a few months ago. And so one of the things is that, like, when we grew up, you know, that's one of the things, is you just couldn't afford the real control. Because if you go to the store right now, which is one of the things I think is crazy as an adult, it's like the controller is like $80. And I'm like, wow, I could get another PlayStation controller for $80, or I could get this Mad Catz control, this Logitech control, for $30. And I feel like the CEO was like, you know, this seems like a good way to save some money. And had he ever gamed in his life, had he ever picked up a PlayStation 2 Paul Rapper to Rapper or, you know, Tekken or whatever type of game in his life, he would have known that as soon as you pick up the Madcast control, it's going to break as soon as you need it most. That is the number one fact. Listen, if you're playing game day and you're trying to reach the turbo, you're trying to get to the outside using the listen, your control is going to start sticking and you are going to get tackled. It's just what happens. And so as soon as I saw that controller, I was like, oh, hell no. Like, I couldn't imagine getting on the submarine and just kind of looking around the sub, like paying the $250,000. Because obviously, if you're paying the $250,000, you can afford to punt on $250,000. Like, you don't actually need, like, if I spend $250 on a ticket to something, I'm going to that show kind of regardless whether I get there and it looks janky or not. You know what I mean? Like, I paid $240 for this festival in July, and like, I'm going regardless. Like, I could get there, it could be 150 degrees outside, I'm gonna go because I just don't have that kind of money to waste. But I feel like if you have $250,000 to spend to voyage to the Titanic on a kind of a sub where the waiver says death on the first three times on the first page, you see the Logitech control, you got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. Anyways, it's really a shame. You know what I mean? That we have people with so much money and freedom. No, it's not too much freedom. But like, why would you want to do that? Like, I just feel like, you know, I race sailboats for fun, and I'm around people with ridiculous amounts of money, and who probably could afford to buy an expedition, and probably would, to be honest. Like, these people are just as susceptible to this type of shenanigans as well. You know, but they just choose to spend their money in like a kind of a normal rich white people way, which is like, you know, buy a boat and do some exploring yourself. You know, I also just kind of feel like, you know, going to the depths of the deep sea, from what I've seen in every documentary on Netflix, which is that like, it's just dark and cold and full of things that I have only imagined in my nightmares. And so I just don't understand why people would want to go. But anyways, the submarine is still lost and they're still looking for these people. And it's just kind of one of those crazy things, especially because just the day before, a boat which was headed from North Africa to Europe capsized and over 80 people died. 80 migrants died. And I think there's, you know, can't remember the number, but it's in the 80s of people missing and, you know, injured. And we have there's so much even debated empathy for, you know, these few rich people who decided to get in the submarine and go to the bottom of the ocean. And then there's some empathy for these migrants, but there's empathy for, you know, people talk about how sad it is that these people drowned, but not like how sad it is that they felt like this is what they needed to do to like leave their homeland, you know? And so I was listening to a podcast talking about kind of the economics of migration and kind of what is the incentives. How can you try to make people, how can you provide the incentives for people to kind of make decisions that are, you know, that are improving people's lives? And one of the things that's talked about was kind of this migration and how people, you know, don't have empathy for migrants and they're not thinking about the, all they do is they just don't want them to be in their country, where it's like, well, if we provided kind of a more, you know, equitable system for people globally, then people would have less incentive to leave where they're from. And so when I think when it comes to empathy, I think, it, you know, not only does it need to be extended to people who, you know, kind of do this recreation stuff, because I'm sure, listen, like, if I die, people are mad because people are like, imagine what it would be like if your last moments you spent being memed and joked about. Now, I could only hope as like a Gemini that people would mean my death, you know. I find if I went someplace, if I went stupid like that, the least that people could do is mean my death. You know what I mean? Like, go ahead, make all the jokes that you want. I'm dead. Who cares? But these people still have 20 hours, 40 hours or so left of oxygen, and the ocean's not that big. I've seen movies about this type of stuff. You know, maybe they'll pull through. But if they don't, there's not really nothing to say. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about kind of how ridiculous high school graduation is and kind of what it looks like when I think people take it a little too serious.
Coming in, too much that I can't communicate with all of them. I do wish I had scientists or engineer friends. Let's go get out of here. Petrol is cheaper than it's ever been. And then who's to say when art will end? All I know is when the portrait painted, better have your portion of the rent. A dollar more and you will get upgraded. When you think you've made it, you are then just tolerated, overrated. Hope I'm 80 when I get my second win. Small potatoes, all I ate before potato chips would cut my corner lips. Operator, operator, I would pray that you connect me to a sip of sangria, Zambia, camera, cameo, hand me a handful of hips. A stamina, stampede of happily happenings, dabbling into a blip. Beyond neon, beyond the ambience, be honest, you promise that you will live. Do summers ever forget? Put your muscle like a kid. Cucumber will make a trip. Do jump on and hit a split. Hookers don't really do shit. Do gelatin in it, bitch. Rebelling is like an itch. Oh,
I'ma live for it.
Diamond shaped like a teardrop. I got the streets in the head like fly, just like a skydiver. Spill, I can get manslaughter. Suicide door on the Range Rover. Depending on the time I was laying up, I could have been wearing an animal. Pull up and get at you in the Lambo. When it gets odd, think to a gamble. Trying to avoid cameras, break my heart. Trying to avoid cameras. I keep shit loaded like a bando. Learn how to turn a trap house to a mantra. Watch me watch the world take my pain and balance it. It's better to be an outcast in a world of envious. White socks, feel a flip-flop. Chanel vintage till they finish.
Music, computers, and robbers, and looters, and looters with shooters, and shooters with rugas, and shooters with rugas. CDs with my tutors, and my tutors taught me a terrible miracle. You can lie, cheat, and still kill in America. Be celebrated like Captain America. Fuck it, I'm with it, let's get it. This nigga in Negris and Bentley, Valet and Lennox. Man, I'm a villain with chillin', so I'm never chillin'. I gotta make millions. I used to be dope with the dealin', but that got a ceiling, and we know the usual healing. Niggas get rich and go bitchin', go fed and go stitchin', and fuck up their family and friends. Me, I go to Germany, earn me a couple of million, return with a couple of bins. I'll go to Brazil and just kickin' and chill till I'm over the hill and still fuckin' on. The world got no mercy, so I had to show them like Percy with me, it just can't be no limit. 100% authentic, see, I got no gimmick, so I ain't protecting no image. My style original, pivotal, is going digital, niggas you like is a mimic. I'm a menace that's moving on vengeance, I promise my op that my anger is endless. It ain't enough that I took out my op in this block, we burnt down this whole fucking village. Did it with smile, not a grimace, it was my pleasure to see that this fuck nigga finish. If you get offended, then fuck it, my nigga, I'm with it, I'm hitting, let's get this shit in. Back of the club, the immaculate thug, with bottles above and some masses to rub. Look at me, bitch, look at me, bitch. Look at the crook in me, bitch. Look at me, hit you with crookedy. Now I got you walking crookedly. They should be booking me. They should be booking me. No, that they won't. I'm the loneliest monk in the dome. Kicking that jazz, collecting my bag. I'm talking Millie, ain't talking vanilla. Had to get that hanging nigga from Nimmy. I do not move like a regular Joe. I'm not moved by no regular hoe. I do not wish for no regular life. I did not marry a regular wife. You think that I'm losing? You smoking a pipe.
streets ain't the same. They spend one time, they spend again.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Listen, Tuesday night is the night that you want to be listening to CITR. Listen, you have Crimes and Treasons 8 to 10 with DJ Malik, DJ Jamal Steeles, myself. Next week, we'll have Homeboy Jules back in the studio. Maybe we can even get Relly Rails for a nice little reunion. And then you can listen to me from 10 to 11. Listen, so, listen, when I... It's been a long time, I feel like, but high school graduations have kind of been serious forever in the sense that, like, you know, they tell you not to do anything and they tell people not to clap and they tell people, and it's like, man, this is just fucking high school. Like, looking back, you're like, it feels like one of those things that I feel, I mean, maybe for myself, right? So I talk about this from, like, I feel like I've had, some academic success. Like, what does that even mean, right? So I'm good at school. But high school kind of feels like, at one point, it feels like, why do they take graduation so seriously? But then I also understand that, like, you know, that's kind of like where it stops for a lot of people. Anyways, a high school grad, this is not the first one this year, was denied diploma after dancing across the commencement stage. And a Pennsylvania high school was receiving backlash after a graduate was denied a diploma. Like, one, two things. If I go to my high school graduation and, you know, I mean, I was in my high school graduation and, like, they were like, you're not going to get your diploma if you dance across the stage. I would literally be like, if this is my kid, I'd be like, kiss my ass. You didn't need that dusty ass diploma anyways. Cause my kid graduated high school. Like, we're just going to go to college. Like, who, college is not going to be like, well, I saw that you didn't get their actual paper diploma, so we're not going to, like, there's so many stupid rules in this, and so many stupid adults, you know, that want to take the joy out of something that should be joyful, you know what I mean? Some take to something that should be about the kid and make it about the school and the administrator giving it out. Like, the administrators literally suck the soul out of everything. That's the one thing that I've learned. Not just in school and not just in work and all types of things, except for if you are running an Ocean Gate touring company, administration should probably be something that you probably think about, and maybe not administration, but compliance and safety, because that's something that if you read up about it, that they didn't really give a shit about. But kind of in school and in work, what administrators do is they just kind of add unnecessary moments of joy theft out of situations. And so one of those moments of joy theft is being able to take away the diploma and kind of the last moments that someone can feel good about their high school career. Because, like I said, for myself, it feels like it can't, you know, for me it came easy. I'm sure if you're listening to CITR, probably, you know, you listen to CITR, listen to Off the Beaten Path, it probably came a little bit easy for you too. But there's some people that shit was a struggle, you know what I mean? And, like, there were some things that people had to go through in high school to make it to that place. And so if they want to dance when they get on the stage, and, you know, and it takes a little bit longer, for, you know what I mean? Like, you know, tell them that you're disappointed and give them the diploma, let them move on. And if you listen to this show and you give kids a hard time, like, I mean, I say I'm not really about – I don't really let people have a little bit of joy. Like, those people – on that Ocean Gate, like, I hope they're playing, Wordle and kind of getting the word of the day and just kind of, you know, playing some cards and, you know, figuring out hopefully that they're not stressing too much. But the idea of the joy is, like, maybe you shouldn't have did that, you know, like that. Like, I see people having, little types of fun. I'm like, I don't believe in that. But when it comes to the kids, listen, I believe the kids should have some fun. Like, I coach football, I'm not going to not tell my kids to celebrate. I won't tell them to celebrate, but if they're celebrating after they make a good play, listen, I'm not going to tell them to not do that. It takes a lot of hard work. Anyways, one of the things that I'm looking forward to in 2024 is Donald Trump running for president. Listen, Donald Trump is a piece of shit. And the world is full of pieces of shit. I think that's what we learned. World's full of pieces of shit. We often let pieces of shit run the world. And Donald Trump is funny as hell. Donald Trump, he's on his campaign spree. And he was in Miami last week, and he was at a he was at a restaurant, and Donald Trump yells in the restaurant at his rally, everybody, food, free food for everybody, food on me. And then he leaves the restaurant without paying, which is hilarious. Like, I just think, like, objectively, like, if you didn't, like, if Donald Trump wasn't president, like, Donald Trump before president was doing this exact same type of shit, and people thought it was funny. Like, that's the thing about Donald Trump. I feel like people have forgotten that, like, Donald Trump has been a piece of shit for, like, 50 years. Like, we have known, it's well documented, 40, 50 years, Donald Trump being a piece of shit. And people laughed. And not only just laughed, they held him up as, like, what wealth looked like. What just, like, gross, tacky-ass American wealth looked like. And he was, like, the pinnacle of, like, what people wanted to be. And it wasn't until he ran for president, and obviously he started, you know, spewing his vile and hateful rhetoric, and also rhetoric that kind of destabilizes an already very fragile democracy, that people really started to choose sides and really started to find him not funny. And I just think it's really funny to walk into a bar or a restaurant. Like, if I did that and was like, shots for everybody, people are drinking, woo, just like, woo. Issa, fuck yes, woo, and then walk out. And then everybody realizes that they have to pay for their own drinks. And yet people still aren't mad at me. People are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's such a funny guy. I can't believe he did that. Like, that shit would be hilarious. Like, to walk around with that much power should not be a thing. And yet it's hilarious and sad at the same time. Just kind of like Donald Trump represents a kind of like the utmost celebrity worship culture that we have, and how real bad it can get. Like, I also don't think that Donald Trump represents the worst, but I also think that he kind of does, because I think what we're seeing with Ron DeSantis, which, I mean, we only got 1 minute, but which is that, like, you can't do the type of, I mean, DeSantis has pulled some wildly whack shit in Florida, particularly state politics wise, like, and is leading kind of like a very, very ugly and very dangerous era of American history, which is making it so people, you know, disincentivizing people to read and making it harder for people to be educated, and basically pushing people to be dumber and dumber. And not only is that scary, it's sad. But what we're seeing is that doesn't work on a national level. Like, that doesn't work for somebody who doesn't have the charisma that Donald Trump has. And so so hopefully we feel like Donald Trump is the worst because of his charisma allows him to do this type of shit. And we're not going to have somebody like that, because there's only one of that guy. And thank God. But that is All Being Passed for this week. Listen, we do this every Tuesday, 10 to 11, like I said, Crime and Treasons, 8 to 10. Listen, give some money to the fund drive. If you don't want to give money to the fund drive, listen, go find an organization and go give them money. Listen, you don't have to even say, you can say it was your idea. But kind of give back. And if you have any kids under the age of 14, they want to play football, sign them up for the West Side Warriors. Because, listen, we're looking for some big, aggressive kids. I'm out.
I'm your host, Oren, and tonight we have a treat. We actually have our first back-to-back of the season, which is
really, really exciting.
But before I get into all of that, I can't help but talk about last episode's mix, which was absolutely incredible. with a very talented, very experimental